interesting thing is that I don't plan these things. I didn't plan this church. I didn't plan my job. I wanted another job. And I didn't plan to be here doing what I'm doing. And God made it so that we would be sitting here today, that we would be studying the book of 1 Peter. That the children would come up with a program through my wife and their parents that I was not involved in. And that the very verse that I land on for this Sunday speaks right to what we're talking about and what the children just said today. That blows my mind. It's happening so many times I've lost count. So I would say to you that not only am I here this morning because of the plan of God, but so are you. We left off 1 Peter, first chapter, verse 10. I'm going to speak to you today from the title, The Truth Gradually Revealed. The Truth Gradually Revealed. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that would come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, underline that, which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. My God. The truth gradually revealed over time. Jesus said this. Go with me real quick. Keep your finger there. I'll come back to that. Matthew 13, 17. Matthew 13, 17. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Then Luke records it slightly differently. Luke 10, 22-24. I'm moving quickly because the hour's late, but write the scriptures down. Luke 10, 22-24. Jesus said this, all things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is, but the Father. And who the Father is, but the Son. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. No one knows who God is, but the Son. No one knows who Jesus is but the Father. No one knows who God is except, as far as us humans here, who are not divine. We don't know anything about God except Jesus Christ himself reveals who God is to us. Amen? And Jesus said this, and he turned him unto his disciples and said privately to his boys, he said, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings, here it goes again, have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Back to 1 Peter 10, 1, 10 and 11. The prophets have inquired and searched diligently. The Old Testament prophets that were chosen by God have inquired and searched diligently. Speaking of verses 5 and verses 4 of the same chapter of the salvation that we have received, they prophesied of the grace that should come unto me and you. They didn't see it yet. They didn't have the inside scoop yet on what everything meant. They got the words, but didn't understand the picture. Amen? Searching what? What person? What person are you talking about? Who is this Messiah? Who is this person of grace? Who is this? What time? What manner of time? When is this going to happen? What do all these words mean? In the Old Testament, they were given words. By whom? Well, I told you to underline it. Searching what, meaning who, or what manner of time, when is it going to happen? The Spirit of Christ, which within them did signify. When it testified beforehand, the sufferings of Christ. The Spirit, not just any Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. What are you saying, Pastor? Jesus himself, before he was born, spoke to the prophets and said to them, I'm going to tell you what's getting ready to go down. Wow. Take that in. Before Mary and Joseph, before any of that happened, Jesus Christ walked up to Isaiah and whispered in his ear and said, let me tell you a little bit of what's getting ready to happen. What are you telling? Isaiah 53, we saw it today. Paisley and Dayani recited it to you. Huh? Isaiah 53 and 3 says, he was despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows. Back up, Pastor. 1 Peter 1 and 11 says the Spirit of Christ did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. He says to Isaiah, you don't know what's happening just yet, but write this down. I'm going to tell you bits and pieces of how I'm going to suffer. Woo! Back to Isaiah 53 and 3. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I need you to picture what's happening here. Isaiah's hearing from Jesus and writing this down and going, what? Who is this? What are you talking about? Surely he's carried our griefs and borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. Somebody who's going through all that cannot be of God. They cannot have the favor of God. Somebody who's dealing with this much pain and suffering, they can't be of God. Isaiah's writing and the people are rejecting what they hear because they don't know who they're really talking about. They don't understand who Isaiah's talking about. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. This year, I proved it. How about you? Huh? Decades and decades before, we've been proving it. We've gone our own way. The shepherd said, let's go this way. We said, no. I want, what's happening over here? I want to do this. I want to do my thing. He's like, no, come over here. It's a safer over here if you just follow the one who created you. Oh, no, Lord. I want to be over here for decades. All we that sheep have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Jesus. the iniquity of us all. He laid all of my sin on Jesus. But back up. Isaiah doesn't really know what's really being said here. He's getting a piece of it, but not all of it. Amen? Oh, I love this verse. Verse 10. Drop down to verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Back to 1 Peter 1. So, Isaiah heard from Christ before Christ came about how Christ was going to die for me and you. And Isaiah had no clue what he was talking about. Is that blowing your mind yet? It said, this verse, this chapter is specific. It didn't say the Holy Spirit, it said the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit points to the Son points to the Father. So what you have here is three in one, the Holy Trinity, right there, proof right there, that there's something bigger going on that we don't quite understand. Who is this Christ? Who is this one that's going to take on the sins of the world? And the glory that should follow. Jesus, before he became flesh, told the prophets about his sufferings before it happened. 700 years before he was even born. I see some people going, oh, wait a minute, something just clicked. Nobody can make that up. Nobody can make that up. I would say to you, this is not some man-made religion. Impossible. The prophecies are too precise. Amen? Help me, Holy Spirit. It was not something that just by chance happened. What this shows us is this is something that Jesus himself planned. Why did he do that? Because he desired that you and I would be saved. He's one with the Father. He's like, Daddy, they ain't gonna make it. we see them. They're a mess. They cannot help themselves. They don't even know what you're like. So Jesus does not go down and come down to us from heaven because he was pushed into it or coerced into it or bullied into it or you better go. No, that's not it. This says the Spirit of Christ was telling Isaiah, this is how I'm going to die. This is how I'm going to suffer. They're going to gamble for my clothes. They're going to carry me from judgment hall to judgment hall. I'm going to take on all their sin. Huh? And God is going to forgive their sin because he won't pay, he won't make anyone pay for the sin twice if I've already died for it. And Isaiah's like, I have no clue of what any of this is meaning. Jesus is saying, don't worry about it. That's not your job. I just need you to keep writing, Isaiah. Ah. So, here it is, people. Watch this. Give me John 1. This blows me away. John 1:1. We're familiar with this. Jesus, before we saw Jesus, told Isaiah about Jesus without really telling him a whole lot about Jesus. In the beginning, John 1 says this, was the Word. Before the world was, before the world was made, the Word was already there. And the Word was what? With God. Ooh, what does that mean? The Word was with God, already with God. Let us make man in our own image. Let us. What are you saying? He's with God. He's already in relationship with God. Who is he? The Word is the Son of God. The same was in the beginning with God. Uh-huh. So the Word is the executor in creation. Uh-huh. Psalm 33:6 says it this way. The Lord merely spoke and the heavens were created. He, what? He breathed the Word and all the stars were born. Basically, the Word is the executor in all of creation. There was nothing made that was made except the fact that the Word made it. Amen? The fact that the Word spoken. He's the executor. He's the agent who accomplishes the will of God. He accomplishes the mind of God. When he says, let there be light. Who was that? Is that just words? No. That's the Word. Do you see it yet? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Are you hearing? Are you seeing this yet? Amen? All right. Give me a little more, Pastor. 1 John 1:1. I love this. 1 John 1:1. Almost done. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes. John is saying, we saw him. We looked at him. We looked upon. We have looked upon. And our hands have handled. We touched him. Who? Who is he? The Word of life. So it's quite possible. In fact, it's very certain that it was the Word speaking of himself when he was talking to Isaiah about what the Word, being Christ Jesus, was going to do before he even got to the plan that he made. Revelation 1:8. Almost done. Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the ending. What are you saying, Pastor? We stuck in time. He ain't. Huh? I have no beginning. I have no end. Huh? We're dealing with, we're walking out the chapters of our lives in the salvation that Jesus has already fixed. We're the ones sweating. He's not. He's not worried about any of our circumstances. We're the ones that are worried. Huh? But think about it this way. He that didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How said he shall not also with, give us all things. So while we sit here on, before Christmas, thinking about what gifts we're going to buy and how we're going to afford them, and while we sit here stressing on what bill we're going to pay, God is wanting you to know, I already gave my son. How shall I not with my son give you all things that you need? Why are you worried about something I already fixed? If my plan is this elaborate in the beginning, don't you think it's going to be incredible in the end? Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, thus saith the Lord. Huh? Saith the Lord. Which is, which was, and which is to come. That's who he is. Huh? He's Jesus right now. He always was Jesus. And he's coming back. Yes, he is. He's the Almighty. John 1:14. One more before we launch into this thing. And the Word that was speaking to Isaiah was made flesh. And the Word, that the same Word that said, that accomplished, let there be light, that executed the will of God, that same Word became flesh and dwelt among us, lived with the people, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only what? Begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is Jesus Christ. He is the Word. So all this prophecy that you're seeing, where you see this elaborate setup, and we want to doubt God, doubt that he exists, doubt that Jesus is real, when you got these prophecies that prove there's no way in the world somebody would have come up with this unless they are God. It's the only way. Nothing else makes sense. Matthew 1:23. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, of the Lord, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. In other words, Jesus said he was coming. He came. He's coming back. And you don't need to doubt that. Simple as that. Joseph is sitting there trying to figure out how in the world his betrothed wife is pregnant. And the angel comes and says, chill out, bro. I know this is complex. This is a really complex relationship. Let me tell you how this is going to work, though. Yes, she's pregnant. No, you didn't do it. God is sending his son through your wife. And he's chosen you to watch over Mary and the savior of your life. And I'm going to steer you all around everything else to make sure everything works just right. Just like I made sure that Isaiah and all the rest of those prophets heard about him coming. All right. Back to 1 Peter 1. Let's do verse 12. So we got proof that the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow came first to Isaiah. We saw that in Isaiah 53. Unto whom, verse 12 says, it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister the things. Now that's complex talking here. Isaiah and all the rest of the prophets that are talking about Jesus, you are to write these things. And they're not for your time. They're not for your generation. They're not going to believe you. These things, in fact, I have record that the Jews, since they weren't looking for a suffering Messiah, pretty much threw out Isaiah 53. Because they couldn't see Jesus or their Messiah coming as the one who would suffer for something that they did wrong. Amen? So what you have here is he's saying to them, they did minister these things which are now reported unto you. You don't understand it all, but later on others will. By them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost. So these things that you're talking about 700 years before Jesus Christ showed up, you just keep talking. You keep writing. Keep writing what I'm telling you, Isaiah. Why? Because years from now, years from now, some church in El Sobrani with some skinny preacher by the name of Jamie Hawkins called TLC is going to stand and believe and trust in what you said way before Jesus Christ even showed up. And they're going to believe that the Messiah has come, and they will understand because Messiah will already be here. So you don't get it, but they will get it. It'll make perfect sense to them once they receive it. They won't listen to you now, but years later, they will listen, they will hear. They're resting on what you have written. Many people will hear what you wrote 700 years before Jesus comes, and they will believe what I told you. So don't stop writing, just do what I tell you. Do what I tell you that you don't even understand. Wow. And here's the part that I'm going to end right here. This blows me away. You're not ministering for your time. You're ministering for the future. When you're dead and gone, Jesus Christ is going to come. And the stuff that you're talking about, which are now reported unto you by them that preach the gospel, the apostles, and these children we just heard from. You see that? You see how this is coming together? With the Holy Ghost sitting down from heaven. Which things even the angels desire to look into. What are you saying, Pastor? The angels desire to look into doesn't mean they can't see it. The angels desire to look into it means they're peeping from the outside. What are you saying, Pastor? They can watch what's happening on our behalf. But they can't appreciate our salvation. No. Because they can't appreciate our salvation like we can, because the simple fact is the blood of Jesus was shed for me and you, not angels. The angels, they never sinned. That was the demons that got kicked out. But the angels are faithfully serving and ministering unto us right now and obeying God right now. They are looking at us and they desire to look into it deeply, but they can't look into it deeply. Why? Because Jesus didn't die for them like he died for me and you. Jesus didn't offer angels or demons any forgiveness. That's only being offered to me and you. He didn't shed his blood and redeem us and make us right and justify us before a perfect and holy God. He didn't do that for angels. He did that for me and you. So they can look, but they can't appreciate it too much. They can look and say, wow, God, you saved Jamie? That's amazing. You are God. But that's about as far as it can go. Why are you saying? Because right now, these great angelic beings with great power marvel and they trip off of the fact that all these people who got saved ended up becoming a part of the church. And the angels praise God and say, wow, you're really something else, God. I can't believe you did that. But the ones who can appreciate it are me and you. So when I get to heaven, when you and I get to heaven, we're going to be the loudest ones up in there. We're going to be the most singingest ones up in there. The angels will not be able to take our praise. They won't be able to top our praise. Why? Because we've been forgiven. And they don't understand all that. You see what I'm saying? We're going to sing louder. We're going to praise longer. We're going to shout longer. We're going to be the loud. They're going to be like, these redeemed people are really a lot right now. They look into our salvation and go, wow, that's amazing. But they can't connect with it like we can. I got a song they can't sing. Why? I'll tell you why. It's real simple. Who's more appreciative of being in heaven? The ones who have always been there or the ones who thought they'd never be there? The ones who have been forgiven of their sins and go, only the blood of Jesus. That's the only one. That's the only reason why I'm up in here. Praise the Lord. I made it. Because why? Not because of the goodness of my own, because of Jesus Christ and his love for me. The prophets and the angels, the prophets of old and the angels, they were scratching their head. What are you up to, Lord? And then they see you and I day by day become a little bit more like Jesus Christ. A little, every day, like, wow, look, this thing is actually working. Jamie's actually lined up with the will of God. Can you figure that, Gabriel? Watch this. Look at that. Look how he just responded. That's amazing. Yeah. What's that about? They can't appreciate what we can. But here's the thing. That's not just for later on. That rejoicing is not just for later on. That rejoicing is for right now. So here's Peter's point. God did this amazing thing with the prophets that they couldn't quite understand. That proves who Jesus Christ is and the salvation that was always coming to us. And then we got the angels on high who can't really appreciate all of it, or watching it play out. Watch us become more and more like Jesus Christ, but can't really connect with it because they have not been redeemed. They have not been saved. They've not been rescued like we have. And they look at us. And what I'm hearing here is that the pinch of jealousy. Are you catching it? See, here's When God reveals to you how precious you really are, then you stop tripping off of everything you're going through and you start peering into, wait a minute. The angels are looking at me like, wow. The angels are baffled by what God is doing and what he's done for me. They are tripping off of what he's doing. Why am I tripping off of this bill and this situation and this relationship and all this other stuff? I don't know what I have. That's the key. I don't know how priceless I really am to God. I don't know how priceless this salvation really is to me. Are you catching that? All right, last part of the message. I know this is a little jumble, but this is the best I could do. 1 Corinthians 15:3. This is what the kids showed us. Watch this. This is the sum of everything that God is saying to you right now. And I hope that you can hear. Not just me, but also I hope you heard the children. Amen? Watch this. 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered unto you, first of all that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins. This part right here. According to the scriptures. He was doing what he said he was going to do. The scriptures proved that this is what he was going to do. The scriptures prophesied beforehand. He was just doing what he already planned to do. Who did it? Not someone who was coerced into it. Not someone who was pushed into it. Jesus Christ himself did what he told them he was going to do for you. So you will never ever be able to impress him. You can't impress God. He saved you before you even were you. He had you in mind before you messed up the first time. He was showering his love on you, huh? Before the foundation of the world. Huh? Huh? According to the scriptures, 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception that Jesus Christ what? Came. People into the world to what? Save sinners. Paul says of whom I am the chief. So why do we give people scripture? Why is the scripture important? Why is the word important? What are these babies doing right now? What are we doing in TLC with these children right now? Huh? We're training them up. We're giving them power. We're giving them a connection. Huh? We're giving them an understanding of what is true. Huh? Because they live in a sea of lies. And they got to have the truth. Let me just show you a little story that you're familiar with and I'll wrap this up. Jacob had a son. His name was Joseph. And he loved Joseph. But Joseph had brothers that were jealous of him. And they sold him into slavery and set a course of his life that would cause most people to doubt the existence of a good God. They took him through hell. He just had bad news on top of bad news on top of bad news. Every time it seemed like he was getting somewhere, every time it seemed like he was getting good, God gave him favor where he was, but he's in jail. Huh? You know, he thought that he was going to get out. By telling some folks, you know, and explaining folks' dreams, and he thought he was going to make it. They forgot about him for 2 years. Didn't tell anybody about him. It never even came up. Finally, the king has a dream. He can't figure it out. Oh, yeah. There's this dude in San Quentin. Forgot about him. He'll explain the dream. Most people have not gone through what Joseph went through. At the level that he went through it. Most people have not experienced that level of pain and betrayal. And misfortune. And some of us, on the amount of pain that we have experienced, we doubt that there's a good God. We doubt that there's a loving God who's even thinking about us. But there's an interesting point here. Many people, based on what they've already experienced, have decided that there is no God. That's one of the biggest arguments I get. If God is so good, then why this? If God is allowed, what's wrong? Why don't he just do something? So how did Joseph go through all that he went through and still hold on to faith? That's the question I have for you this morning. He didn't have a New Testament Bible. He didn't have an Old Testament Bible. Joseph was before Moses. He had no commentary. He didn't have any T.D. Jakes tapes. All he had was, watch this, words that came from his father, Jacob, who wrestled with God and would not let go of God until he blessed him. That's all he had. Are you listening? Something was passed down from Jacob to Joseph. What was it? I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Huh? Joseph had that in his heart and his mind. Amen? Joseph had the ability to believe that in spite of what he was dealing with, that God loved him. Woo! He had a little bit of word. Ooh. What I'm saying is, Joseph went through a lot more suffering than most people, and yet, what he had to work with sustained him in his faith. Uh-huh. And that's a lot less than what we have. Are you getting this, people? Ha! Huh? What was passed down from Joseph, from his father Jacob, was what? The truth. That's what he had. He had a really, really small amount, but the truth of the matter is it was the truth. He didn't have 66 chapters written over a large span of time, put in a leather-binded book, where we can go and look back and forth at it all over and over again. He didn't have that. And that was still enough to hold him. First Peter 1:19 says this: we have also a more sure word of prophecy. What do you mean? He's talking about we've got the canon, we've got the Bible, we've got the word assembled. Uh-huh. Whereunto you do well that you take heed unto all as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. No matter what dark place you're in, the word of truth is enough to sustain those who believe it. Joseph didn't need a visit from an angel or dramatic experiences. No, no, no. Joseph did have dreams, but those dreams were of prosperity and success, and that stuff probably drove him crazy and frustrated him because he couldn't see how God was doing it. But that didn't change his belief. What held him was not visions and dreams. What held him was the word. Woo! We have so much more than Joseph did. We have the word written down. We can look back at it. We can memorize it. We can do it with our family. We can study it over and over again. We can get encouragement of it from it. We can affirm every day what we already know, what we believe to be true. What? We know that there is a God, that he is willing to save, that he is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? This is the truth. We have the truth. The truth, when it is heeded, it says that you do well to take heed as unto light that shines in a dark place. And in the next part of that verse, it says, until the day star rises in your heart. Who is that day star? Well, he is Jesus. Who is Jesus? He is the Word. Are you getting this? Christ is the Lord, the Word. He is the word that needs to be heeded until he rises in our hearts, not just in our heads. Because the word in your heart is what keeps you. The word in your heart is what sustains you. The word in your heart is what encourages you when you're down. And every time I get into a low place, the only thing that brings me up is when I remind myself of what God already said. So many people are all over the place looking for something to believe in, looking for a word from God. I need a new word. When you're neglecting the Bible right in your lap. It amazes me. We got 66 chapters of what God said, and we're looking for a fresh word from God. Has not God already said enough? Hasn't he said it from the time of the prophets into the revelation of Jesus Christ, into the time of the apostles, into the preachers now, into what I'm saying to you right now? Isn't God, hasn't he said enough? Hasn't he said enough? People are trying to figure out if God really loves them. But they won't look at the very complex letter that's been stretched and gradually, truthfully revealed over time that shows how much God obviously loves us. He planned this for me and you before we even did anything. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So what are you saying, Pastor, in this? Okay. Christianity is not some man-made up religion that was thrown together so other races of people can control you. Christianity is about God's desire that you know the truth in order to receive Christ, so that by daily being full of the truth, which is being full of the Spirit, you will be able to be under the control of God, where God can control you. Because my life without God has amounted to nothing but years and years and decades of me being out of his control and out of my right mind. So what God is doing is he's making a way out for me if I choose to believe this truth, this awesome truth that has been spread out for years for us to see the truth. Amen? Last scripture and I'm done. John 20, 31. Everything that was said to you today, not just what I said, but all the scriptures the children read, all the illustrations of the coin and Elijah's scientist mathematical equations. All of that was said to you today. This word that is written to you from all the prophets of old. And all the word that has been spoken by the apostles, that are now given to the men and women of God who preach to teach the word, not just to themselves in churches, but also to their children, so their children's children, their children's children, and their children's children will know the truth. All that has been said to say this. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. The word has been passed down to you today, given to the prophets, revealed by Jesus Christ when he came and died on the cross for our sins, and preached to you, starting with the apostles all the way up to these little kids. The truth has been gradually, revealed. And now, since Christ is here, it's crystal clear what he's done. Since he's come and showed us what that all the Old Testament scriptures mean, we know that he came to die for you and me. Because I'm not right. Because I need a Savior. Because I can't go back to God the way I am. I need Jesus' credit card. I'm not going to make it. And Jesus gave his life for me. To save me from myself, to save me from sin, to save me out of this world system, to where I would think differently, to save me from the clutches of the enemy, Satan, who would desire to devour me. Jesus has been keeping me all this time, reserving all of you, for those of you who already know Christ, and for those of you who may know him today and finally believe the truth today. He's been working a plan out to bring you to a place of salvation where you will trust Jesus as your Savior and depend on him and trust that his price that he paid is good enough for you to see God. This ain't about staying here. It's about going home. So here it is, people. The truth has been gradually revealed. The truth has not changed. The question is, do you believe the truth? Do you finally believe the truth? Will you surrender to God today while it is called today? Trust in the Lord. Don't lean to your own understanding. It'll send you straight to hell. Trust in Jesus today, who loves you enough to die for you. The Bible is not written to cause men to doubt. The Bible is not written to cause men not to believe. The Bible is written so that if you truly examine the Word of God, it would make it hard for you not to believe. Believing really is the only thing that actually makes any sense. I'm done.